do. Have a seat. Well, it'd be good if you turn to that passage that you had read to you just in the service booklet there, Acts chapter 4, 32 to chapter 5, verse 11. And indeed, this is a very serious and quite a grave, of course, incident in the life of the early church. Because you get a picture of what the early church was like and the general life of the early church here at the end of chapter 4. You know, all the believers are one in heart and mind. And when it says all, I mean, that's a sort of a general statement. It was a sense of the early church that they really were kind of filled with the Spirit and they were a generous community and they were seeking to live out the gospel in every area of their lives. And there were great signs of the resurrection of Jesus. People were sharing their possessions. And then there's one notable example of that, and that's Joseph, who was named Barnabas because he was a son of encouragement, because he was obviously a great encourager. And he sold a field and gave all the money to the apostles and their work. And you can imagine, obviously, it's recorded here because it must have been quite a sum. It was obviously a very generous thing to do. And everybody would have thought, wow, you know, this chap Barnabas, he's such a spiritual giant. He's somebody who is so close to the Lord. And what a wonderful thing for him to do. So then we immediately go on to chapter 5. And no church is perfect. And sometimes within church it can be actually quite secret sins that go on that can destroy the church life and can be quite insidious. And so we come to a man named Ananias. And the way that the incident is related, it's obviously connected with Barnabas. Here is somebody who everybody looks up to as a generous, powerful giver, somebody who's close to the Lord, tremendous spiritual status. And Ananias and Sapphira, this couple, think, I want a bit of that. I'd love a bit of that. Because you see, through spiritual things, people can work out their own sense of need of adulation, an old sense of need of being wanted through spiritual lives. I mean, it can be disguised and we can sort of, you know, spiritualize it to the cows come home. But in the end, what it is just us trying to be at the center. And so here you have Ananias and Sapphira who sold a piece of property. And what becomes clear, what Peter says to them, they're free to do what they want with it. They didn't need to sell it. They didn't need to sell or to give all of it. But what they did was they planned their sin. It was planned sin. They wanted to go to Peter and the apostles and say, here is all the money from the sale, but kept some back. And the thing is they could have said, well, look, Peter, here's half of the sale. Here's a quarter. They could have just been very honest with the amount that they gave. But no, they wanted that adulation, that sense of people thinking what wonderful people these people are, and only gave a proportion, saying it was everything. And it's this sin of deceit, planned deceit, that can actually really be corrosive in any life, but also community life as well. So that's what we got. If you look at verse 2, it's obviously they planned it with his wife's full knowledge. Ananias kept back part of the money and brought the rest and brought it in front of the apostles. And then Peter somehow, miraculously, sees what's going on and confronts Ananias. And Ananias, you know, you don't quite know kind of the situation. Could you have said, look, I'm really sorry about this. I'm kind of undone by it. But he doesn't. And we don't quite know the way it all worked. But it's obviously he was so shocked by his revelation, he falls down dead. It's seen as judgment. But it's also, I think we would say, this person was just, you know, just fell down out of complete conviction. And we might say heart attack, whatever. But it's obviously something really shook him when he knew that God saw straight into him. So did Peter, and he dies. And so then, of course, Sapphira comes along as well. And Peter gives her a chance to repent. You know, he says, is this the price you got for the field? She could have said, no, it's just a quarter. You know, and of course, there'd have had to be reparations and, you know, sort of repentance and that. But she says, yes, it is. And of course, then she dies as well. And great fear is throughout the early church. Has been a great one of joy and a great one of celebration. But I've got fear, a sense of God's holiness. And this is what the church was discovering, the sense of God's holiness. You don't trifle with God. Of course, you know, we're into God being our Heavenly Father. Jesus is welcoming, but he is still God. And you don't trifle with God. And there's got to be a balance here between Jesus being my best mate, which, you know, we don't want to go down the line of that, really, but he is our friend, and but he's our Lord, and that, you know, we want to have a balance between that, not quite Jesus my best friend, and also the balance between having a fear of God that crushes us, but we still need a sense of awe that this matters, that actually God has, of course, a holiness about him which is not our holiness fully yet, and so it matters, and he sees everything. There are no secrets of God. And so what we have here is the warning about using our faith to feed ourselves. Because there have been, throughout church history, people who will use their faith and will use their ministries to feed themselves. And the obvious ones, of course, is discovered. You know, you've got these televangelists who were caught, there's not so many now, but not that long ago, usually, I said in the United States, because that's where they're financed from, who in the end are shown to have used their ministry to fleece people and to build up their empire. But it needn't be quite so sort of obvious as that. There can be situations where people will spiritualize things and say, well, the Lord said this to me, or the Lord said that to me. And actually, in the end, when you drill down, it's what they want to do anyway. And you can spiritualize all kinds of things, because we are, in the end, if we're not careful, consumers. We are consumers, and we put ourselves at the center rather than being servants. And so the difference between a servant is Joseph, who gives everything to the apostles, and you've got Ananias and Sapphira, who pretend to give everything, but in fact want to feed themselves. You know, the prestige, the praise, the acclaim, the spiritual giant. And there was a period of my time when I was in a church where I really kind of found so often people would, you know, say, the Lord said this to me and the Lord said that to me. And I knew that kind of so often people were just using it as just Christian speak to do what they wanted to do anyway, and were feeding themselves. But it sounded, you couldn't argue against it, because it's what the Lord has said. So you have to be very careful with this kind of pretense or deceit and that, because it can be corrosive, very corrosive to a church. Did you notice that the way that Peter speaks about this is that Satan has so filled your heart, Ananias, that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Because, of course, Acts, a lot of Acts, is about attacks of the church from without, you know, kind of persecution. But the attacks from within can be much more deadly to the church. The church has always, always survived the attacks from without, and in fact has grown with that. But what destroys a church are spiritual attacks from within, when unity or holiness or kind of something goes terribly wrong in the community. That destroys a church, which is why most of the New Testament letters are not about the attacks from without, they're about the attacks from within, making sure that we're not squabbling, we're not jealous, we're not kind of doing things that are going to destroy one another and our unity and the holiness that God wants us to have. So here is the warning of using our spiritual lives as a cloak, wanting things that in fact are just feeding ourselves. And this is a tremendous warning for this. So what do we have to think about in the application. And I think the first thing is we have to remember the gravity of sin. We don't often talk about that, the gravity of sin, but it is a serious matter. And we can destroy ourselves and other people. And so rather than, it's not about sort of becoming so obsessed with sin, but it's actually knowing that it is serious and something which actually really disappoints God, and in the end can also bring his reaction of judgment. And also remembering integrity. Integrity in the church community is really important, so that you what you have is what you get. And I think it's really important that. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not perfect. I mean, golly, you know, we're not perfect, but we want to be a long, long way away from this Ananias and Sapphira situation. You know, we're not perfect, but we don't want to be that. So integrity is important. So if there's something that we know about ourselves, we've got to get it right. Or if there's something which has gone wrong, we put it right. And it's really important for a church community. And Ananias and Sapphira, even in their planning, could have said, this is not right. We've got to stop this, or we've got to talk to someone about it. So we've got to remember the gravity of sin. We've got to remember, the disastrous consequence of it, and also remember the joy of repentance. And I say the joy of repentance. Repentance can sound like it's the most morbid thing ever, but in fact, it's a freeing thing. Because if you got yourself in a tight corner with something in your life, and you know it's wrong, and you know you've boxed yourself in with something that is not good, actually, repentance frees you. Because in the end, you know, sometimes it's pretty awful to confront it, and it's very difficult to confess it to someone or whoever you've got to get right with. You know, it's sometimes very, very difficult to do that, but in the end, you're free as a bird. Free as a bird. Otherwise, you're closed in, and, well, it can be extremely destructive. So the joy of repentance is something which we must not lose heart and lose our sight of, because it, in the end, it frees us. So here we are in the early church, this wonderful sense of all believers one in heart and mind, and yet Satan can fill someone's heart here with the wrong kind of desire for things themselves and deceit. And it's just a warning to us, a reminder to watch ourselves, not to be fearful, but to be wise. I think it's about a wisdom about ourselves and about other people, and to have a wisdom that honors God and the Lord Jesus. And the early church recording here in Acts is very sparing about these kinds of incidents, but it just brings this one to us because it's serious, and also it probably just opens the door a little bit to understanding of the possible falls that we could have if we're not guarded with ourselves and each other. So as we sit, let's pray.